Welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today we are back with our opinionated AF segment.
We love this format, but we're going to be shifting into a new series starting in 2025. You guys are used to that. We do kind of a new kickoff to the year series. We've done it last 2 years. We're doing that going into the new year. And then we're just going to retire this format for now. But if you guys want to see more of it, let us know.
Yeah, we have a lot of really exciting things in store for 2025. The last 2 weeks, Kara and I have done a lot of strategy behind the scenes. So we're feeling good in our reflections on the podcast for the last year and excited about what's to come, but we can share more of that later. So if you are just listening for the first time and are like, what is opinionated AF? This is where we take viral videos and that are maybe a little controversial or inspiring, a hot take, and we share our opinions on them.
Yeah, or just anything we're seeing on the internet. It doesn't have to be viral. It could be a funny article. Just anything that we want to give some commentary on because the girls have opinions. Before we get into that, the last one of the year, the last one for a hot minute, let's go into a catch up. Anything exciting going on? We've been caught up in like a couple weeks.
If you guys are like, why are their voices so scratchy? We both literally just woke up. It is bright and early for both of us because we both, in this reflection, we're like, you know, the mornings are when we're like full of ideas and it's quiet and we want to talk about things and usually record in the afternoon. But then by that point, we've gone to a yoga class, we've gone to Pilates, we're running errands and our mind has like so many tabs open. But this is the first time we've spoken today. So we're all waking up together here. I had the most amazing morning. There was this crazy rainstorm last night. And I woke up in the middle of the night because I play white noise when I sleep or just some sort of like hurt sound or something like that. I like to have it on while I'm sleeping. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night and was like, oh, my playlist must have switched over to like a jungle rain sound because it sounded exactly like the playlists that are like tropical thunderstorm, and it hasn't rained here in like a while. And I was actually telling Kara yesterday, like every time I leave Tulum to go back to Omaha or take a trip, everyone's like, oh my God, you missed the craziest storm. Like the streets were flooded, we lost power. And like somehow I like have hardly been around when that's been happening. But this morning I was, and oh my God, it's like just so powerful. Like I was just sitting on my balcony, journaling, drinking coffee. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just record a voice note on my phone so I can have my own like white noise playlist.
Oh, okay.
You know, like rain sound. So I recorded a 3-hour jungle rain sound this morning. And I was like, sweet, I can like listen to that on the planes or when I'm like doing something and be like, this is my real jungle rain sound.
Yeah. I love that. That's brilliant. Does it sound good? Did you play it back?
I don't know. I was like waiting for it to go as long as possible. So right before we hopped on, I was like, okay. And I mean, I guess I could have kept it going, but now people are like awake. It's 8 a.m. They're like commuting outside.
Yeah. So there's and you can just loop it. So then you have 6 hours or 9.
Exactly. I know. I just kind of thought that was cute. I was like, wait, I could go do an ocean one.
Yeah.
Like, why am I not making my own? And then it just feels so much more special.
That's amazing.
So yeah. How's your morning?
Well, morning's fine. I literally just woke up because I'm having like the most social week of my entire life. I don't know. I guess with the holidays, everyone's doing things and I'm loving it, but I'm like literally booked and busy every single night. So Saturday, I guess really I'm back to the past weekend. Just like really fun. We went on a little holiday lights trolley. Our friends rented out a trolley and then we all got on and went and looked at Christmas lights. And that was really fun because I'd never done that in St. Louis. And there's some really cute, very famous in St. Louis, you know, holiday Christmas lights and stuff. So there's a street called Candy Cane Lane. I feel like it's actually called Candy Cane Lane. I don't know. But it's all the houses, like every single house goes all out on the lights and you just like walk through. You can take your hot chocolate. You can just walk around and look at all of them and it feels like you're in a little Christmas movie. And then there's also Tillis Park in St. Louis and it's a park, but they also go all out on these lights displays and you just like drive through the park and they get a bunch of sponsors and people donate and stuff. So it just is balls to the walls, Christmas lights everywhere. So that was fun because that actually is like a long line. Like you have to wait in your car for like at least 5-10 minutes to get through. But so I've never done it, but it was really fun doing it on the trolley. So that was my little Christmas thing for the weekend. And then Monday night, I went to see Wicked, which was really good. I will say I'm a hater. It was just like a little too long because it's 3 hours long. And the beginning just moved a little slow because I have seen the Broadway production. And I think the Broadway production is also 3 hours, but it gets to like the whole story. And this is only part one. So I was just, and I'm not like someone who doesn't have an attention span, but I don't know. You guys have to let me know if you agree. I just think the first half was just way too much detail. Like we could have went to the chopping block with a few scenes. I don't know. It was a little snooze fest for the second half. I really loved. So that was really good. Last night, hosted a girls' night. That's when I'm traveling so much, too. I'm like, okay, I got to get in some social time with all these people in between all the craziness of, like, being gone for so long. So had a few girls over, and we decorated Christmas cookies. Fully embracing the Christmas over here. I went and got some stencils, literally ran to Savers, which is like a secondhand store. Because I'm like, there has to be so many Christmas cookie cutouts. And I was right. So, because I'm like, but also, this is fucked up. But like, the price at the thrift store was the same as like brand new at Target. That was wild to me. I think that's why people get mad at thrift stores these days.
Okay, so much to reply to. One, love the trolley activity. That sounds amazing. I think as someone who doesn't like the cold, doing things like that are what make winter not just bearable, but really enjoyable. So love that you're doing all of these fun things. So, you know, not think about it just being cold and you can be cozy and embrace hygge. If you guys haven't listened to that episode, we did, what was that, last year? Maybe 2 years ago?
Maybe 2 years ago. I think it was 2022.
We'll link it in the show notes. It's basically a ton of ideas of how to embrace the cold season. And so it's fun, not just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm stuck inside. Sounds like you're thriving.
I'm already doing, like, I always think about that episode because I'm already doing the things. Like, I'm already back at hot yoga, which is funny because I literally did not go in the spring or summer, fall. Like, I only go in the winter, which they probably hate that as a customer. But I'm like, I am sorry. I just love it in the winter. Yeah, back doing that. But also, so then tonight I'm going to a comedy show. Grace O'Malley, the comedian, is going to be in St. Louis and the tickets were $20. So I'm like, I'm going to go see her with my friend Eva Hansen. And then, so going to that tonight. Thursday night, I'm going to a favorite things party. It's like another holiday thing where everyone brings something around $25. That's their favorite thing. So you bring three of it and then you, like, there's some magic swaparoo stuff that happens, or then you leave with like three of someone's favorite things. So then you get three things. I think I'm going to bring, there's an adorable candle shop in St. Louis called Glow Candle, and they're just amazing. I think they're like $25 a candle, but they're just like the best candles, and it's literally in my neighborhood down the street. So I think I'm going to get those. And then Friday, I have off, but then Saturday, Connor has his holiday Christmas work party. And then Sunday, I leave for Miami, another work trip.
Wow. Yeah, you are booked and busy, but yeah, sounds like very fulfilling things.
Yes. Okay, so that's my update.
Oh, wait, one thing I want to say about cold season, because I went back to Omaha and I'm going, again tomorrow. With ClassPass, there's this infrared sauna place in Omaha, but it's like a chain franchise. It's called Beam, which is a very creative name for a red light place. And I had some extra ClassPass credits that were going to expire before I came back. So I like looked at ClassPass and there was an infrared sauna for 11 credits and a red light therapy. It's kind of like a tanning bed looking thing for 11 credits. So I did both of those back to back. And I was always kind of like, is it worth it? I don't know. But kind of how you feel about hot yoga in the winter. I'm like, I don't know that I would do that a ton in the summer. I would rather just like sit outside and sweat for an hour. But when I was in Omaha, it was already snowing. And I was like, I am cold. I have already acclimated to Tulum weather. Like, this is freezing. And I don't have that many like warm clothes anymore. So I was kind of just wearing like the same sweatpants and like Clay's hoodie for 3 days. And yeah, it just felt so good. And I think I'm a believer in it, even if it's, what do you call it? Placebo.
Oh, the red light therapy.
Yeah, and the infrared sauna. Because you know how there's like a lot of like, there are benefits, but people are still kind of like, I don't know.
Oh, wait, I have not heard the controversy. So I'm like, wait, is it placebo? But for sure, yeah, you don't know red light therapy. But the infrared sauna, isn't it still hot? Like, aren't you still sweating?
So I was in there for a solid 20 minutes and I was like, why am I not sweating yet? And I was like, maybe it's because I have acclimated to Tulum weather. Like, you know, it's so humid here. Like, I need it to be hotter because it was only 150 degrees. And I was like, I don't really know what temperature a regular sauna goes to, because the one I always went to before was just like, you know, one of those like
Finnish sauna.
was, you know, like wood and had the coals. So there wasn't like a digital timer. I was like, I don't know. It's just really fucking hot in there. And
no,
so
those are like 190.
Yeah. I like got out of my towel and like went up to the front desk and I was like, can you turn it up? Like, I am not hot. Like, this was a lot of credits for me to like not even sweat. Like, I haven't even dropped a bead. Like, my armpits are not perspiring. Like, let's get it warm in here.
Let's get going.
And she was like, wow, really? Like, she was like shocked. And I was like, so she came in, she was like, we're not supposed to turn it over 150, but I'll turn it up to 160 for you. And then by the end of the 45 minutes, I was like marginally, had like a few beads on my forehead. So I don't know. I have a mixed review over the infrared sauna because I think more of the benefits, it's different. They're supposed to be not as hot as a traditional sauna.
Oh,
like it wasn't
right.
The place messing
okay, I just
up. Yeah, I Googled it. Yeah,
but I didn't know this. But that makes sense because I did go to a sauna on me and Connor's honeymoon and like ran for the Finnish sauna and they had like 12 different saunas or something. It was lots of different types of saunas like steam room, Turkish bath, hammam. There was infrared sauna and I literally walked in and I was like, why is it so cold? So then I went back to the Finnish sauna. Like, you're right. Okay. Yeah. Finnish sauna gets up to 176 to 194 degrees Fahrenheit, where infrared is between 110 and 150. Yeah. No, I like a Finnish sauna.
That's a huge difference of temperature.
No, I want to roast. I'm like you. And like, even in the Finnish sauna, it still takes me like 5 to 10 minutes to break a sweat.
Same. Because like, I would have to do it after my workout. Like, I'd have to already be warmed up and like sweating to get properly sweating in the sauna. Otherwise, if I went in there like cold, I'm like, I could sit in here for half an hour before I'm properly dripping.
Fascinating. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm with you. I'm team sweat a lot and like get really, really hot.
But then
like
dump
more water on the coals so that it gets like even hotter. I did that once though recently. And it was in Italy. We like did Finnish sauna for one of the days and I poured a bunch of water on, like not realizing it was already so hot in there. And I was like, oh God, I gotta step out for a second. I did like way too much. So be careful because sometimes it doesn't need the water on the coals. I think most of the time it is good, but oh my God, I was like, what did I just do? I just made like an oven in here.
Yeah, that feels so good though. This is giving me flashbacks. As a kid, when we would go visit my mom's hometown, there was this hotel that we would always stay at and they had this amazing indoor pool. Well, amazing in the eyes of a 7-year-old. It's probably a very average
amazing.
Normal. It was the Great Wolf Lodge. But they had a sauna. And I remember going in the sauna all the time as a child. Like, I'm sure there's supposed to be like an age thing, but like no one was looking. And I would love just going and sitting in the sauna as a little kid. So we've talked about it on here a lot. Like, I love being hot. I will pick being hot over cold any day.
1000%. I agree. I don't think I love being as hot as you do, but I'm with you though. I hate being cold. Any other updates?
I mean, I feel like I haven't caught up with you guys in so long, but there will be time.
Yeah.
We'll get it all in eventually.
Okay. Peaks of the week?
Yeah. Peak of the week. Last night, I finished reading, I'm probably going to butcher how you say it, Ishmael. It's Ishmael. It's this book that my friend recommended to me. And I will forever be taking his book recommendations. At their house, they have an entire wall of books. Like, there's got to be maybe pushing 1,000 books. And so I went over there last time I was in Omaha and I was like, pick me out a book, please. Because how do I even choose with all of this? And that's what he picked out. And so I brought it with me to Tulum and I read it this week. Oh my gosh. It's like mythical, but it's about, I don't even want to say saving the world, kind of. It's just eye-opening to the way we live. And I finished reading it last night in bed and I just had tears rolling down my face and I like fell asleep holding the book and I was just like sad and because it's not really an optimistic book. Like, it's really sad. The most recent publication of it was 1990. This is like an older book, but at one point in the book, the author made some metaphor related to Nebraska. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, I'm from Nebraska. So then I read the author thing in the back. The author was born in Omaha, Nebraska and went to St. Louis University.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what are the chances of this? And then I guess he also went to university in Austria. But he has a sequel to it. And someone replied on my story and they were like, this is the most life-changing book like I had ever read. Thank you for reminding me. I need to read it again. And I'd never heard anything about this book. So my peak was just having a really good book in my life this week and therefore less time on my phone and sitting outside and reading it. And I'm extra excited because tomorrow I go back to Omaha. So then I can exchange and take the book back to my friend's house and be like, okay, give me another one because I will just forever take your book recommendations now.
Wow. Oh, love having a good book. It's the best feeling, especially one that has you on the edge of your seat or you want to keep reading. It just is so addicting.
But it I have is. To I was that. Like, I don't want to do anything else. You know what I mean?
I know.
You like have stuff to do and you're like, I just want to go read that book.
No, I think that's why I have like zero posts on social media for the last 2 months because I've been reading ACOTAR. So like any free moment I have, I was reading those books. But now I'm on the fourth one and it's just a little bit slower. So I'm not on the edge of my seat as much. But yeah, it's like bad, honestly. Because you just like lose all productivity of any other areas of your life. But okay, I'm going to read that book. I write that down. So I'll put that on my Goodreads. It sounds really good.
Love.
I'm going to say my peak of the week is just embracing the Christmas spirit, doing all these fun activities and doing them with friends. And the trolley was really fun. And I got to dress up cute because there was like a dress code of cute festive holiday. So I put a cute outfit on, put like a bow in my hair. It was fun. I love having an excuse to put a cute outfit on.
Well, that sounds like a great peak. Love that you got dressed up on theme. That's always fun. And now for listener peaks of the week. Oh my gosh, I love this one. Thank you, Hannah, for saying this so that I don't have to be the preachy person. She said, finished Christmas shopping and got all of my gifts locally. Yay. Love to see it.
Oh, this is a big one. Maggie said, getting engaged in New York City. Congratulations, Maggie. That's so exciting.
Max said, found a new yoga studio and it's becoming my daily delight. I love that phrase, daily delight. I think I'm going to like add that to my journal of in my gratitude section. Like, what were my daily delights today? So cute.
And Katie said, just signed up for 6 weeks of ski lessons to learn a new skill for 2025. That's amazing. Love that we're not being afraid to try new things. That's awesome. I'm wishing you all the best.
As always, send in your piece of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday. The handle is artyfriendspodcast.
You guys know we're all about how to thrive in 2025 this year. And if you're ready to optimize your nutrition, Factor is here to help. Factor is a sponsor of the show, and they have chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. So you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. So Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared. It's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle. You can lose up to 8 pounds in 8 weeks with Factor Keto meals, and that is based on a randomized controlled clinical trial with Factor Keto. So results will vary depending on your diet and exercise. With 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. Choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto, and Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. So reach your goals this year with ingredients you can trust and convenience that you cannot beat. I'm telling you guys, the convenience is the biggest factor for me. Factor for Factor. I love that they just ship everything straight to your house. You just pop the meals in your fridge, and then whenever you're ready to go, you just throw in the microwave. It cannot be easier to stick with those wellness goals. Eat smart with Factor. Get started today at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use the code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
Something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare, all of these things mess up our hormones, and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all of this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony, and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ALREADYFRIENDS to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, ALREADYFRIENDS at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show. Okay, getting into opinionated AF, anything that's jumping out at you?
I like the one that you put in for money versus passion, but also we already played that guy's video last week. I submitted one from him, but I love him. So if we want to play his, I'm definitely down. I think I would like to do that one and then pick a city that matched your personality. I feel like they kind of go hand in hand of that post-college, young adult, finding your way era, where you're just like, what am I supposed to do? And you overthink it and then you underthink it and you're just like going in circles.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
All right, this post is for anybody that's just starting out their career. If I could go back and redo my life starting at 22 when I graduated college and I didn't know what to pursue, this is how I would do things differently. The biggest thing is that you're going to have a lot of internal strife. Is it money? Is it passion? It's money. Make money. You need to make money. When I got out of college, I wanted to work in sports. Then I got an internship in doing ticket sales in sports. I realized that they were overworked and underpaid. So I was like, forget it. Sports is just a hobby of mine or a passion that I can watch. I'm just going to get a job where I make money. I got a job, a regular ass job, doing copier sales. It crushed my soul to the point where I said, you know what? I don't even care about money anymore. I just want to do something that I love. Okay. Then I started to pursue comedy. Then I started to pursue comedy and I realized that like, oh, I'm doing something that I love and I'm making $0. Okay. Then I realized that no, financial freedom, financial health is the key, because what financial health affords you the ability to do is it affords you the ability to pursue the things that you are passionate about and not have to worry about them as a source of keeping yourself alive. So it allows you to pursue your passions as something that you're intrinsically drawn to while you fulfill your financial needs elsewhere. And if you can just motivate yourself to get to the point where you are financially free, then you can do whatever you want. And that is the goal. You need money. Is it passion? Is it money? It's money. And money is not going to make you happy. It's not every single thing in life, but it does afford you the ability to buy the things that are going to make you happy. Does that make sense?
It goes on a little longer, but I feel like that's the good main gist.
Yeah, I really resonate with that point of view more and more the older I get, because I look back at peers and I'm like, sometimes when the job is just paying you and it's providing security, then your mind can focus on the things you actually care about in life, your friends, your family, hobbies, wellness. But oftentimes when we monetize our passion and our hobbies, it no longer is as fun because now there's all this pressure around it. Mm-hmm. And when we did the episode with Ashley Stahl in our 8 Dimensions of Wellness series, she's like a career expert. She kind of had a similar sentiment where it was just like, you're putting way too much pressure on your purpose being how you make money. Like, you can have a lot of purpose in life that doesn't have to be how you earn money.
Yeah, I think that stress is the biggest thing I kept thinking of when he was talking. And just, yeah, that pressure you put on yourself if you monetize your passion and it's not ready, like he said, to give you that financial freedom. I think it's a fine balance and a fine dance of course, don't work a miserable job if you hate it. And eventually you want to own a candle store, you know, do something that's your craft. But yeah, there's a lot of stress if you jump into something like that way too early when you could just work a little longer, stay at the job a little bit longer until you have a large audience or you really have a solidified product. So that just definitely resonates with me with like the different things I have going on in my life. Not that I was planning on quitting producing anytime soon, but I'm like, no, I think it's the perfect setup for me. It's like, okay, I have my producing job that pays me my salary. And then I have all these things on the side, like TikTok, doing social media, podcasts, all that stuff. And like, of course, I want to grow all these things. And it would be amazing to have any of those take off to replace the producing stuff. But I do kind of like having both.
Mm-hmm.
And it has way less pressure.
Energetically, when you think about it, you go to this job to make money. The motivation to do that is then because you're like, oh, I can go do the things I enjoy. I can go on a date with my partner. We can take a trip. I can buy those clothes. I can do this experience. Mm-hmm. I can pay my bills. That's like the fuel of why you're doing maybe this job that isn't providing you that much fun. But if you monetize your passion and you no longer really just get to do the passion when it's making money, you don't then have that outside thing of like, oh, well, I'm doing this for that. And it's really easy to lose steam because then you feel like, oh, this is all just one thing and it takes over your life. And then it's easy to be, to lead to burnout or resentment. Speaking from experience.
If we're talking about life goals, it's definitely like one of the top for me, just being able to live a life where you don't have to stress about money. And I think you're, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. As you get older, sometimes life is just better when you have, you're not having fun all the time and not everything's like fun. And, but that sounds terrible. But
maybe instead of fulfillment, like purpose, passion, because if, as long as we're not talking about working a job where you're miserable, there's a lot of options. It's a huge spectrum from miserable, worst job ever to your most fulfilled passion work ever. If you can find a job that's like in the middle, pays you enough, you don't absolutely hate it, you can sustain that era of your life for a while where you can raise the family, do your fitness, cooking, life, all of that outside of work and still show up for work and be like somewhat present and a decent employee.
Yeah. All while you're building something to hopefully take over.
Which is also more fuel for that then. Because if you're like, yes, oh, if I'm showing up to this job and it's paying me money, I can put a little away into an investment that someday I can do something else to earn a living. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Great. Okay, now I'm going to play one about picking a city that matches your personality. And in the catch-up segment, I was like going to go on and on about how myself I feel in Tulum and how it almost bums me out that this version of me here, which I feel like is my favorite version that I've ever had of myself, like day to day, I just feel so embodied and happy and glowing. And I'm like, wait, literally no one I care about ever gets to see this version of me. No one has come down to visit me. When I go back to Omaha, then I'm like cold and tired and stressed. I'm like, literally not a single person I care about in real life ever gets to experience my favorite version of me. So I don't know. I just want everyone to come here, not to see me thriving, but I'm like,
I want everyone to come. No.
And so here's a video that kind of goes along with what I'm saying.
When you're picking a city to live in after graduation, the base topic of conversation needs to be a topic that you are aligned with, interested in, and looking to exceed in. I left New York this weekend to go to Miami, and I'm always very cognizant of the fact that in New York, people very much care about their careers. Not everyone here wants to be a girl boss, but a lot of people here have really strong career ambitions, and it is something that they focus on, and they want to surround themselves with people, even in social settings, who have similar career aspirations to them. Miami this weekend, if I'm talking to someone, we could go several conversations, especially if I'm talking to a guy, without him asking what I do. And even if someone does ask what you do, that is not a question that leads to more questions. It is more of a throwaway question. And the same can be said about every single city on the East Coast. I think in Boston, there's a huge emphasis on where you went to school. In New York, it's jobs. In DC, it's how politically connected you are. In Miami, it's a lot based on your looks. In London, let's just throw it in, it's a lot more subtle, but it is a lot about who your parents are. Obviously, these traits come through in every single city, but if you aren't super aligned in thinking about your career, and you don't care about your job that much, maybe you care so much more about what you do outside of work, a city like Denver is going to be way more appealing and satisfying to you because there are going to be people there who also value that. If you don't like the news, I don't suggest living in DC, right? And in every city, there will be people who have all of those traits from all the other cities, but the ability to find people who share your values much more readily will occur in cities that value the same things as you because people will gravitate towards them because they will know that they are gravitating towards the cities where they are going to find people. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't know what came first, chicken, egg, or finance in New York, but like, it's how we are here.
I definitely think that's good advice. I saw that video as well. I think there are totally different vibes, different cities, and taking a look at like what your priorities are and then picking a city that aligns with that, 1000% agree. But also, I remember seeing some of the comments when I first saw that video of like, I live in this city and it's not like that. And she does acknowledge that in the video. So I don't think you should fully make a decision off of that because I agree. Like I've been to DC and I've visited friends there that are not in politics at all and had like the best weekend, such an amazing city. There's different pockets to different places, but yeah, I think it's a good thing to consider for sure. But also, like, I didn't move to New York for the hustle and bustle and career. Like, there's a huge creative scene there, like a huge film, TV, music, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I like it, but I think it has, the thought has flaws too.
I mostly disagree. I think using the buzzwords like finance or family money or family are maybe putting that in a box. But if I think about it energetically, I do feel like certain places have a certain type of energy and pace of life that comes from the weather and the type of land that is in that area. to where New York City is not a nature-oriented place. So for me, the way I'm looking at it is like it being a lot of city and culture, that energy is like moving quickly. So even if you're in finance, you know, you're hustling, you're producing. If you're a content creator, you're making stuff, you're going out and doing things. It's like that energy of like movement and interacting and people connecting, to where maybe a place like Denver that has like a lot of mountains, people are basing their routines and their life maybe more on the outdoors rather than city opportunities. And a place that's like in the southern hemisphere that's a warmer climate, people might be more connected with nature. It's hotter. There might be more like sexiness happening, because what I've found since moving to Tulum, which is a warm climate, I've done so much research on how we evolved as northerners and southerners due to the weather. And it has so much to do with how our body shapes are, because, you know, in the north, when it's cold, you have to like store fat in your body and you move more slowly and you're like less intimate because you're cold. Like, but then if you think about producing life, anything that's warm and hot is like life. It's sex. It's juicy. It's, I don't know, more like free spirited and flowy. So I do think that there's a method to that concept. It maybe doesn't need to be as specific as like she said it with those keywords, but I do think different places based on the landforms, or if they're by the ocean or not by the ocean, if they're by a significant body of water, if they have mountains, does create a certain culture or lifestyle due to the either amenities or nature that's nearby.
Yeah, maybe it's just to me, like that just seems like common sense. Like, I feel like if I hate outdoors, I would never move to Denver. There's something about the video that I was kind of agreeing with some of the comments of just, I like it and it is good advice. Like 1000%, you should not move to New York City if being grounded and like being out in nature and going on hikes and stuff is your jam. You're going to be miserable. You're going to hate your life. It's such a different atmosphere. But I also don't think you should fully, like, you can't put all of your happiness and eggs into like where you live. It also takes work of like finding your people, finding things that you like, and or like you can't fully blame if you don't like your life on just the fact that, oh, it doesn't match my personality. It's not the perfect place for me. So I feel like it's good advice for sure if you're trying to figure out where to move, because I think that can give some good clarity and definitely can eliminate a lot of big cities or a lot of different options. But I don't think it's the end all be all, which of course you weren't saying, but I think you can find something and find people that you vibe with in most places.
We're all very multifaceted, dynamic beings. And I think that moving to a city or town or region can help pull out that side of you more. And I think certain places might be more conducive to a lifestyle that you are looking for that might just be more accessible. And that doesn't mean you maybe need to live there forever and it has to match your personality forever. But if you don't have kids, then a place like New York City, where you don't need to find a 4-bedroom house for a reasonable price, you can go out and explore the city and do what it has to offer. If you're looking for maybe more introspection and a calmer, more health-oriented life, maybe you want to live somewhere that's by the ocean. So I think there's some merit to it, and you can take the good pieces out of reflecting on what a place has to offer and what that could do for you based off of what you value or what you're looking for in that stage of your life.
Okay, which one should we do next?
You can pick this one.
Maybe the arguing with people, because I actually was just talking about this last night.
Sure, go ahead.
Sooner you realize that demons are not satisfied until they instigate and stir the pot, I think the sooner you will stop going back and forth with people. And this is just like, it seems so funny, but when you think about it, even in places online, if you've ever found yourself going back and forth in the comments with somebody, stop and think about it. Is this person seeking understanding? Are you seeking understanding, or are you just stirring the pot because you might be the demon? Is this person seeking understanding? Are they trying to seek clarity, or are they just trying to argue? Which one is it? Because you sitting there going back and forth with somebody, trying to get them to agree with you or trying to get them to understand your point, when their entire point is to fight, friend, crazy. Lock it up. Let it go.
Okay, I just liked that video just because I feel like more than ever, I see people arguing with people online in comment sections, or I definitely have a specific friend in mind to post content. And whenever she gets, you know, negative comments, they happen. There's bots. There's crazy people, especially the Instagram Reels algorithm. I've said this once and I'll say it again. For some reason, your videos just go to people who do not, they're not interested in what you're posting. So they're going to leave crazy comments. This girl, I don't know her personally, I guess, but she just responds to every single mean comment, like trying to like win, like, haha, I'm coming out on top. And I'm just like, I don't think you're winning. Like, I just think you're, that cannot energetically like be good to be trying to come out on top on people who are just, I don't know, they're not, like she said, they're not seeking understanding. You're not going to change their mind. Also, like, you're not making them look dumb. I feel like you're just causing yourself, like, not pain, but just, I don't know. So that reminds me of this, of just people that try to argue people or like try to win an argument over comment section. I'm just like, don't waste your breath. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
I fully agree. I've been reflecting a lot on letting go because as people, we have a finite capacity of what we can focus on. We only have so much short-term memory. We only have so much place in our heart. We have to give our energy to people and work and our hobbies and all of this. And it's like, why are you literally using your most precious resource, your energy, to try to argue with this person across the world who has a totally different point of view than you? You don't even know them. You're never going to get onto a same page where it's like, why do you even need to get on the same page? You're never going to meet them. Like, what is the point? So just not even giving that attachment to it, because all you're doing then is like hurting your own bubble. Like, yeah, how you said like pain or suffering. It's like you are. Why? You have so much around you in your present life, and you're going to let this random stranger who doesn't know you, doesn't have all the context, doesn't care, doesn't impact them, doesn't impact you, unless it does. And now you're in turmoil emotionally over it. It's just not worth it to me. I never reply to stuff like that. I think I told you guys I did that Silk and Snow like bed setup collaboration back in like maybe May. It was kind of funny. I got this like whole new bedroom and then had to move like the next month. But they put a ton of money behind the TikTok of it. It has like 10 million views. And oh yeah, the comment section is ruthless, because part of the script, I had to say affordable luxury. And for luxury, it's affordable. For affordable budget, it's not affordable, but they're trying to position themselves as affordable luxury. And people have been coming for me for like 6 months over like, this is not fucking affordable. Like, white chick, get a like fucking check. And I'm like, bro, I had to say it.
Yeah. But like, First of all, you're right. I did get a check. So thank you. But imagine if you sat there and like tried to win the argument with every single one of those. That has to be exhausting. Like, I'm sorry.
No. And I'm like, I wanted this new bed. And I agree that for luxury, something that's like very, very quality, it's Japanese joinery, like it's custom. It's a nice, well-made thing. Of course, it's not the same price as IKEA. That's the whole point. But for what they could charge, it's less. But I'm not going to sit here and say that to every single person, because I don't care, because affordable and money and expensive is all relative anyway to the individual's income. What's affordable to one person is expensive to another, and vice versa. So applying that argument to literally anything, your point of view is relative to your life. So what might be unfair or evil or wrong could be good for someone else. And in the Ishmael book I was reading last night, oh my God, it was like talking about how everything has a good and a bad that happens. So if the lion eats the deer and the deer dies, well, then this is, quote, you know, good for the lion, but bad for the deer. Well, if the lion starts to feel guilty about this and doesn't eat the deer anymore, now we have the population of the deer going up because they're not being fed on by the lions. Well, now there's not enough food for all of these deer to maintain that population. So then some of the deer die because of starvation. So no matter what, a bad thing happens anyway. And so every single good has a bad. Like, that's just the duality of life. I got way off topic. I'm so sorry.
What? No, I think this is totally on topic.
Okay. I'll stop there though.
Yeah, no, I love that you applied a personal example of getting hate. Thank you for sharing that. No, but like, it is just, I think it's a good reminder, even in real life. I guess I was talking about this last night because I had the friends over and I was like, we were talking about people like getting into politics at Christmas or Thanksgiving. And I'm just like, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but you're never going to change someone's mind like over their entire political beliefs. I'm like, what's the point of like, I love like we said, like an intellectual conversation, like stimulating conversation, that's fine. But I don't know. I feel like you got to pick and choose your battles, I guess, is the moral of the story. And don't try to fight with someone who's not seeking understanding. I think she's hit the nail on the head with that.
And to your point of you're not going to change someone's mind, usually unless someone is open to learning, they're not going to be receptive to what you have to say. And usually in these situations at family holiday events where there's all of these people around, that's not really like a learning opportunity moment. Usually people are doing this in their own life. And I think the best way is just to stand in your own truth and lead by example and be a living practice forever for whatever you believe in. And in time, if someone is inspired by that or they want to know more, then they will ask you. You don't even have to push it on them. It will just, they'll be interested in it anyway.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And it's just, I'm not out here risking my relationships to just, I don't know, come out on top or give it to somebody. So I thought it was a good message for the times we're living in.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Opinionated AF. Thanks for hanging with us today, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.